Okay, here's the thing. This is sermon time. But I'm not going to sermonize exactly because sermons are long and dull. I'm just going to talk. But before I talk, I want to say something. I know it's going to happen. I know exactly already what's going to happen because you're going to, you see, we're going to ask you at the end of the service to give us your input, which is a dangerous thing. We'll hear afterwards, well, there was too little of this and too much of that. And you'll be right, I'm sure. That's the thing about input. People are usually right, and it makes it difficult. But our theory in putting the service together was to do lots of different things in the hope that people would, in that mix, be touched by this or that. I'm quoting. That whole paragraph was a quote. It was what I said verbatim, because we have the tapes. A little over 10 years ago, when we first started Friday Night Live, and we first started services like this once a month for younger people. And I went yesterday and looked back at how I began that service because I thought this is a beginning too. And that was the paragraph with which I began the service, and then I told a story, which I'm going to tell you again. Then I'll diverge. But the story was about the Kotzker Rebbe, the great Hasidic leader and one of my personal heroes, who was once asked how he became a chassid, because he didn't grow up a chassid. And he said, it was because of one teacher that I met along the way. And the person who asked him said, well, he must have been a brilliant teacher, a wonderful mind, a charismatic personality, after all, to attract you. He must have been something special. And the Kotzker said, no, he wasn't. He was a simple man with simple stories. And so his disciple said, well then, what changed? How did he move you? And the Kotzker said, he told what he knew, and I heard what I needed. So that's what I hope will happen tonight and throughout the holidays. We will tell what we knew, what we know, in music and in words. And I hope that somewhere in there, all of us will hear what we need. And this tonight is one of the things that I think we all need. When he was here, Elie Wiesel told us that when God created Adam, he gave Adam a secret. And the secret was not how to begin. It was how to begin again. I remember years ago, the Rabbi Jack Reamer telling me that he said to his congregation one day, can anyone name when the Mishkan, the portable sanctuary, was dedicated in the wilderness and no one knew? By the way, if you're on a bar bet, it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's good, you know, to win a couple bucks, usually. He said he then asked them, when was the temple dedicated? Solomon's temple, after all, this is an important structure in Jewish history, and nobody knew. Sukkos. But then he said, when was the temple cleaned out and rededicated? And everyone knew it was Hanukkah. Because, you see, dedication, as important as we think it is nothing compared to rededication. Beginning is nothing compared to beginning again. That's the secret that God gave Adam. It's renewal. It's beginning again. You know, when you get married, you have to exchange rings. And I almost always tell the couple that the reason a ring is exchanged, I mean, after all, you could give any sort of gift. Why a ring? Is because according to the mystical tradition, there's no such thing as uniting. There's only reuniting. In the primordial mists of time, your souls were joined and you had to find each other again because it's all about renewal. It's all about beginning again. That's what tshuva means. Tshuva, you know, means return. Well, what are you returning to? You're returning to something that was there. You're beginning again. We don't believe that this is all determined. You get to choose. You get to change. We get to renew ourselves. What I was yesterday doesn't determine what I'll be tomorrow. And what I am tomorrow doesn't have to be what I will be next year. We're all allowed to be lazy. We can be lazy with our work. We can be lazy on Sunday mornings. We can be lazy with errands. But we shouldn't be lazy with our souls. Our souls need work. And they don't need work once. They need it constantly, again and again, in a cycle of renewal. Self-exploration is like a spiral. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper, even though you touch on many of the same areas. How many times in your life did you do something you thought you would never do, good or bad? How many times did you not do something that you always thought you would do? We surprise ourselves. Our own souls take us by surprise. As long as we believe in that possibility of renewal and we don't believe in that terrible phrase that people use when they don't want to change, that's just the way I am. Why are you doing that? It's just the way I am. But it's never that simple. Animals live by instinct. Human beings have instincts, but they can rise above them. It is never enough to say, it's just the way I am. We know. We grow in wisdom year after year, and we fail in imagination if we don't realize that life will have surprises for us and things will be different. We shall not cease from exploration, wrote Eliot in his famous lines from the quartets. And the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. If I ask you, do you know yourself better than you did 10 years ago and 15 years ago and 20 years ago? Do you realize that your former self knew nothing? Think how much you'll know this time next year. Realize that we're always in process. That even though we thought 10 years ago and 15 years ago and 20 years ago we were so wise, we realize now there was so much room to grow. We were just on the way. We're hardly finished now. I'll give you a beautiful example. In his book, 9½ Mystics, Herbert Wiener was interviewing Martin Buber. Martin Buber, here he's one of the profound minds of our tradition. The man who introduced the term I, thou, who introduced the Western world to the Hasidic tradition. And you know what Buber said to him? He said to him, I can't read my old books anymore. He said, because the truth is, I didn't even begin to become a person until I was about 40. Think about that. I find that enormously encouraging. Right? Didn't even begin to become a person. But also realize the combination of humility and wisdom. The willingness to grow, the realization that it takes a long time to become a human being. And that we are all on the way. You know, Israel had a king, our first king. He was an utter failure. His name was Saul. Don't hear much about Saul. His successor, David, who also had his peccadillos. You hear more about him. But I want to tell you why Saul failed, according to the Bible. Samuel said to him after various royal misdemeanors, he said, "Hakaton atab einecha, are you small in your own eyes? Rosh shifte Yisrael atav yishlachacha Hashem badarach. You're a king, and God has sent you on a journey." Now remember that no line in the Bible is addressed only to the person to whom it is addressed. Every line is addressed to us. Don't think your soul is trivial, Samuel is saying. You're a king. You are royal. That's why when you mistreat a human being, it's treason. Because every person is royal. V'yishlachacha Hashem badarach, and we are all on a journey. The only crime is thinking you're there. That's part of what I hope tonight is about. After all, this is the same service we do every year. But we're doing it new. It's the same, but it's different. It's not a beginning. It's a renewal. It's a beginning again. And there will be things about it that will be bad, that we won't do right, that people won't like, that we won't like. And the same thing is true of tshuva. You can sit in synagogue and swear to do better, and tomorrow morning, first thing you say is, "Did you see how that person was dressed who was sitting next to me?" First thing, before the coffee. And you think, "Geez, couldn't go 5 minutes. You may say it in the parking lot, I don't know. To which I can only offer you the wonderful and wise words of Samuel Beckett that I think should probably be over all of our desks and beds and televisions at home. This is a great motto. He said, "Failed, try again. Fail again, fail better." That's what we're here to do. To fail better. To do a little bit better with our renewal than the year before, and a little bit better, and a little bit better, year after year after year, because life will always present new challenges, and you'll always have to meet it in new ways. Day after day, month after month, year after year. Part of the beauty and the difficulty of being on a journey. "I fail every day," said Emerson, "yet to victory I am born." Because you see, to do better, to try more, to fail better, to renew yet again, that's victory. So I wish us all, in this new year, in the 10 days to come on Yom Kippur, and in the year that follows, not perfection, but renewal, that we might try again, that we will fail again, but that we'll see that not as a discouragement, but as an inevitable step up the spirals of our souls. And we might say, as we go through life, "You know, they told what they knew, and I heard what I needed." Shana Tovah.